Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
I am stressed. I'm heading up to vacation, but this time next week, I'll be on a boat, so it'll be fine.
Nice. So we might have to play one of our backlog episodes next week instead of actually recording a new one.
No, I think we're going to do the live stream of you playing Mario Kart on your new Nintendo Switch.
You know what? I have not gotten into Nintendo Switch. The last Nintendo I had was the Wii.
You are missing out on life. It's just money. Spend it.
Yeah, I've got so much stuff I want to spend money on.
Yeah, I saw those new rockets came out, huh?
Yes, I may or may not have bought more than one.
Well, we talked about this last time. I think you bought, what, 7, 12,
7, 14? No, not quite that many. I got 4 of them. I only have one left. The other 3 have all been since dispersed to other parties that were very interested, and some that I made a deal with.
Well, you know, it's all working out for you then.
So it is. Anyways, how about we dive into our topic today?
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see. Today we are going to talk a little bit about Office 365 and identity, right?
Yeah, I think so. It sounds like a good topic, something a lot of people are curious about. There's lots of different things you can do with identity, user accounts, getting them set up, syncing with on-prem. So we'll dive into all of those different topics.
Awesome. So we should probably start at the beginning.
Yeah, let's start at the beginning. What is identity? How does identity relate to Office 365? I'm sure it's more than just, hey, you're Scott and I'm Ben.
Yeah, so there's this weird, dirty little secret. It's not a secret and it's not that dirty, but it's been out there for a long time. So the first thing you have to recognize is you went and you signed up for Office 365 and you thought, this is awesome. I'm going to be an Office 365 subscriber. Well, it turns out that you're also an Azure subscriber. Whether you decided to become one or not, that's really what you are. Because all of our identity in Office 365 is pinned to Azure Active Directory. So you've effectively got an identity provider that's hosted by Microsoft. It lives in the cloud. It can act as all sorts of things. It can be a security token service. It can be a relying party. It has things like access control services. But that ultimately is the thing that hosts all your identity. So the very first thing, I've gone in and I've set up a new tenant and I have one user and that user is my new admin. They have exactly one identity. That's a global admin sitting over in Azure Active Directory someplace. So at that point, you're just kind of up and running. You know, you've got identity and it's in the cloud. So do you know what we call that?
What do we call that?
We call those cloud identities.
Revolutionary.
I know.
Again, we go back to Microsoft and their ability to just give such unique, inspiring names to...
Right? It's just getting good around here.
It is. Azure AD, like you said, I'm surprised how many people didn't realize that. I think it's becoming more and more common knowledge now, but I know originally very few people I talked to, I was like, oh yeah, it all lives in Azure AD. You have an Azure AD subscription. You're not paying for it, but it's there. It's sitting behind the scenes. And they were like, really? So yeah, like you said, not a lot of people knew that right away. They're getting to know it more. So how does Azure AD relate to like on-premises AD? I know I've done a lot with on-premises domain controllers. Is it the same thing, only just a cloud version of it? Are there some differences there? What's the difference between kind of that on-premises, the Active Directory, your typical domain controllers, and say your Azure AD tenant?
There's some huge differences between things like on-premises identity, particularly with Active Directory, right? If we're talking about Active Directory is just a straight-up LDAP provider, and then Active Directory goes above and beyond and does a bunch of other things, things like group policy. You have things like the ability to join computers to a domain, you know, little things like that. So Azure Active Directory is primarily a cloud-hosted identity management solution focused on users and groups. So it doesn't do things in the cloud version of it, like group policy. There's not really support for joining computers to an Azure Active Directory domain. There's some features in Azure Active Directory, like Workplace Join, that'll let you join a Windows 10 device, but you can't join your Windows 7 devices, your Windows 8 or 8.1s or things like that. So effectively, not really there. It's also a very flat organizational structure. So in typical LDAP directory, you would have things, well, let's talk Active Directory, right? You have organizational units. So you can get some hierarchy to your directory. You can get things like permissions, inheritance, and that GPO inheritance. That doesn't exist in Azure AD. You have just users and user principles, service principles, and then potentially groups around those things. It all just kind of lives up there in the cloud. There are some side offerings that you can go ahead and enable to do things like do Active Directory domain services as a managed service put in by Microsoft. So they do have some offerings where you can go out and you can do Azure AD ADS, and they will effectively host some domain controllers for you and replicate from your Azure AD over to that Azure Active Directory domain service. Again, it's not full-blown AD. It's a little bit weird because it's a hosted service, so you don't get all the things you'd look for, again, with organizational units. You can do some light group policy, but then that lets you join computers and do some other things. But really, they are two separate beasts, right? When we talk about on-prem and cloud identity in the form of Azure Active Directory.
Okay, that makes sense. So if I am an organization, I have a lot of on-prem servers. I have my on-prem Active Directory. Like you said, now I want to do Office 365. I have all my cloud identities, my Azure AD. Do I have to give my users two different accounts, one for Office 365 with their cloud identity? Is there some way for them to have one identity that they can use both on-prem and online? How does some of that work if I have both on-prem and in the cloud?
So you have a couple of options. So there's effectively three identity models for Office 365 and really for Azure Active Directory today, right? In the context of Office 365. So you have those cloud-only identities. So a cloud identity is an identity that lives only in Azure Active Directory. Username and password is separate from everything else. It's not pinned into anything. It's not synchronized. You know, it just lives in one place. It's the sticky note version of things. I get a sticky note on my monitor to remember my password. Then you have this kind of middle of the road identity model, which we call synchronized identity. So there's some tooling that Microsoft provides in the form of Azure Active Directory Connect, which will let you take those on-premises identities where you already have an investment, right? I know who people are. I've spent some time organizing metadata about them. And I want to take that on-premises identity and synchronize it up to Azure Active Directory. So that tooling, that agent, lets you effectively do, in its most basic form, it's a one-way synchronization where I'll treat my on-premises directory, that LDAP directory, as a source of truth and go ahead and push those identities on a regular schedule up to Azure Active Directory. So what that lets me do is, if I'm a user and I already have a username and password on premises, and you know, you as the Office 365 admin have done directory sync and you've chosen to synchronize identity and passwords, well, now I can do simple sign-on, right? So I have the same username and the same password no matter what system I go to. So I don't have to remember different usernames, different passwords, anything like that. I'm all set. That is not single sign-on, it's simple or same sign-on, right? So there's this third identity model that I can go to where I can say, okay, you know, cloud identity was great, but then we stepped into synchronized identity, and synchronized identity is okay, but it's killing me for my users to always have to type their passwords. So let's go ahead and think about things like single sign-on. So with SSO, we can federate against Azure Active Directory. So again, it's an identity provider that sits up there. So we can turn it into a relying party and have it go ahead and get access tokens from some other identity provider. Microsoft, let's talk ADFS. So I can effectively say, hey, every user that's in the domain at contoso.com, when they type in their username, they're automatically going to be sent over to our ADFS server, or our federation provider, and they're going to get their identity, get a SAML token, get pushed back to Azure AD, and everything's going to be magic. So in that case, all they needed to know was their username, their password, and everything else kind of went through and just worked and did its thing. So that's kind of the basic lay of the land today. You have cloud identity, separate username, separate password, synchronized identity with password sync, same username, same password, but I have to type them in. And then you have a federated identity where you get options to do things like single sign-on.
Very nice. So one question I know some people have is there's some nice features in Office 365 when you're looking at those cloud identities, particularly around letting users do a password reset on their own. Or maybe there's some aspect of their account, their properties that they change in that cloud identity. If you're doing that same sign-on that has that sync in place between AD and Azure AD, are there any types of write-backs so they could still, for instance, change their password, perform their own password reset in the Office 365 features and have that sent back to their on-prem environment?
So you do have some options if you step up to some more premium SKUs. So specifically, Azure Active Directory Premium. It gets a little weird because you're an Office 365 subscriber, which means you're a free Azure AD subscriber, but you're not really a free subscriber. You're this quasi SKU that's kind of basic, kind of free, a little bit of premium, but none of those things. So what you can do is, because all your identity is really in Azure Active Directory, you have other options for purchasing additional licensing and SKUs around just Azure AD. So you can step up and you can say, hey, I'd like to do an Azure Active Directory premium subscription. So there's P1s and P2s. There's kind of various levels of premium in there. Or maybe you're an existing EMS subscriber, Enterprise Mobility Suite or Enterprise Mobility and Security, depending on which phase of your life you're in. And you will get access to some of those features like password write-back. So let me go ahead and do something like reset my password in the cloud and ship it back to on-prem and make that change for me. You'll also get some options around things like group write-back. So if you do something like Office 365 groups, those unified groups and Outlook groups, you can actually have those created back on-prem as distribution groups, security distribution groups, and pushed into local AD and things like that. So you really have to sit down and take a look at the licensing and kind of figure out where you are and where you want to be. In its most basic form, for what you get out of the box without any of that premium licensing, once you've gone ahead and synchronized, you've effectively said that your on-premises directory is your source of truth. So if you have a user who wants to update their primary phone number, that primary phone number can't be updated in the cloud. It has to be updated on-prem and then synchronized back to the cloud because it is that one-way synchronization relationship.
Got it. So like you said, all those user properties, email addresses, email aliases, phone numbers, all of that then has to be updated on-prem and pushed into Azure AD?
Quite a bit of it, yeah. There's some profile information that's not a part of Azure AD, depending on the SKUs you subscribe to. So if you do something that has SharePoint Online, SharePoint has its own user profile service, right? So that has skills and projects and a bunch of other metadata fields, and those all live over in that service. So you've got to update those kind of on its own. But effectively, we're talking about like core identity inside of just Azure Active Directory and kind of core identity fields that get pushed up through directory synchronization.
Okay. So as people are talking about, thinking about spinning this up, they're considering, hey, I've got cloud identities, I have on-premises identities. I know one question that I've heard before, I'm sure you've been asked this question before too, is, I spun up an Office 365 tenant 6 months ago, 7 months ago, whatever. I've created maybe 100, 200 users. I've created my entire user base up in Office 365. They all have their Office 365 usernames, passwords. They have those identities. Now, all of a sudden, I've been up and running for 8 months, and I've decided, you know what? I want to install Azure AD Connect. I want to actually connect my on-premises, Active Directory, sync all those users up to the cloud. And essentially, I want to do a merge. I want to map that on-premises user to the cloud user so that I don't have to go through and redo all my licensing. Maybe there's some stuff with mailboxes. Again, I want these two identities to become one, not have two different identities in Office 365, one that I created when I stood it up and one that got synchronized up there from my on-premises AD. What's the story around kind of bringing those two together? Are there any options to do a merge of identities, or how does that type of scenario play out?
That's called Godspeed and good luck. There's a couple things that come into play. So because this is a synchronization process, there has to be something on each end that the tooling like Azure Active Directory Connect can effectively pin to or understand that object A on-prem maps to object A in the cloud, object B to object B, object C to object C. So there's a couple of things that happen. So there's effectively SMTP soft matching, or like UPN soft matching, happens between user accounts. So if I'm scott.hoag at contoso.com and that's my full UPN on-prem, and somebody created me as scott.hoag at contoso.com and that's my full UPN as a cloud identity, Azure Active Directory is going to look and it's going to say, whoa, somebody else already exists. Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to overwrite them, so I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to throw that up as an error and leave it to the admin to kind of go ahead and remediate it and see what they can make happen. Because once I have done that object A to object A with the soft match, you'll start to get some things like there's concept of like immutable IDs inside of Azure Active Directory Connect, because ultimately it's MIS and FIM and it's got a metaverse and all that kind of stuff. So it gets a little bit messy when you have existing data like that. You do have some options as far as you might be able to take a user who's pinned into domain in the cloud. Like if I'm scott.hoag at contoso.com, you might be able to put me back over to my contoso.onmicrosoft.com account, get that on-prem account synced up, and then do some data migrations and some moves around that. But really, it's kind of like when you're in, so you do the SharePoint thing, right? And a Windows identity isn't the same as a SAML identity. It might be the same username and same password and all that good stuff, but effectively they're two different identity providers. So the same thing starts to happen in Office 365. So potentially you're looking at moving some workloads around and doing some quick migrations and things like that, whether it's something from a OneDrive to go ahead and get that data moved, or whether you want to do go out and find like a third party and maybe do like BitTitan or something like that for your mailboxes to go ahead and make that transition a little bit easier. If you are an Office 365 subscriber and you've purchased it recently and you're in that mode and you've been like, oh man, I'm doing this for 6 months and I'm just totally lost and don't know what's going on. If you purchased more than 150 seats, you most likely have access to some fast track deployment services. And those fast track teams can be pretty helpful too in going ahead and reaching out to them and getting them to provide you with the documentation and kind of what some of your options are there to make it a little less friction to go ahead and make that happen. But it's kind of painful. So typically what we like to do is we like to say, hey, let's go ahead and get going with cloud identity. And really, cloud identity is either I didn't have an on-prem directory to sync and I'm never going to have it, so those separate usernames and passwords are fine, or I'm just standing it up in the beginning and I need to do some POC kind of stuff. And proof of concept is always I'm going to have the ability to burn it down later, right? Proof of concept is not equal to production, all that good stuff. Because what's going to happen is you're going to want to get to a place where you don't run into this. I've been up and running for 6 months and I never thought about this and no one told me it was coming. So you do have to do a little bit of homework ahead of time.
So that's my confusion. I always thought the P and POC stood for production. Now it's all starting to make sense.
Production of concepts in your head turns to proof of concepts in your tenant, which turns to things I can delete later without anybody complaining.
Yeah. So the recommendation is, again, if you want to have that synchronization there, do it right off the bat. Don't think you can wait until later and just quickly move over to that. One other thing you mentioned is those UPNs. I know I had a client that ran into this, I'm sure you've run into it before, where their UPN, their primary domain on-prem, was a .loc or a .local. It wasn't a .com, .net, one of those public top-level domain names. One requirement, I know we've gone in, you go in and set up Azure AD Connect, and it's like, hey, you have a .local UPN, you can't set up Azure AD Connect. You have to have a .com, a .net, one of those top-level domain names that's publicly accessible for your primary UPN. if you're going to do that whole Azure AD Connect, sync those identities up to the cloud.
Yeah, you do have to have an internet routable domain name, so you can at least do your domain verification in Office 365. So you have a couple of options with those on-prem identities. Ideally, what you'd like to have happen is you don't want users to log in with their scott.hoag@contoso.local. You'd really want to put me into a new UPN and get me pinned into that routable domain name, right? So if I'm Active Directory on premises, that means I'm going to go out and I'm going to purchase a domain name that's publicly verifiable with my registrar, DNS, do all that stuff so I can get verified. And then on premises, I'm going to come back into my Active Directory. I'm going to add a new UPN suffix for that contoso.com or contoso.org, contoso.net, whatever it ends up being. And I'm going to assign that UPN to the users. It's super straightforward. You know, you can have a bunch of different UPN suffixes in your on-prem and, you know, you're kind of off and running. So at that point, you could synchronize and my username would be scott.hoag@contoso.com on-prem, and that would just synchronize right up. And I'd be the same thing on the other side. There are some organizations where they can't do things, like they can't change UPNs because users are already married into those. They've been using them for years. Maybe those UPNs are tied into other applications or other identity things on premises. So you do have some options with the tooling to do things like transformations, where you can say, hey, maybe my email address is going to match what would be my UPN in Azure AD. So take my what's my email address on-prem in my directory and go ahead and map that up to my UPN in the cloud. So users could do something like log in with their email address and password instead of their full username and password. But you've really got to think about that. In general, the recommendation is if you can get to, you really should strive to get to the point where your UPN on-prem matches what your UPN in the cloud is. It just makes everything a lot easier later on down the road.
Yeah, I agree. And by and large, that's what I've seen organizations do is they're like, you know what, we can get through this UPN change, get those primary ones to match. And it does. It makes everything a lot easier for users after the initial shock of having a UPN change. But it has. It's just, again, made everything a lot easier. One other thing around identity, I've played with this more. I've seen more and more apps doing this. One other nice thing about those Office 365 accounts, having those cloud identities, is it seems like there's more and more third-party services that are actually starting to recognize Office 365, that cloud identity, even as a trusted identity provider. So you go to sites and, I mean, typically you see, hey, sign into the site using your Google account, your Facebook account, your Twitter account. It seems like there's more and more stuff that now you actually have the option to add an Office 365 account too, or do some of the single sign-on, even extending to apps outside of Office 365 with that cloud identity.
Yeah, so what's going on there is you can almost throw Office 365 outside, you know, out the window, because now really we're just talking about our identity that's in Azure Active Directory. So Azure Active Directory has a concept wrapped up inside your directory of an application. And there's basically a whole big gallery of applications that have kind of pre-supported identity with Azure AD. So Microsoft's gone out and it's worked with a bunch of enterprise providers. So say maybe you're an organization today and you're onboarding into Office 365 and you're leveraging Box for storage. So you haven't moved into SharePoint Online, you haven't moved into OneDrive for Business. So you're using Box for enterprise. You can actually make it so that those same identities that you synchronized up into Azure Active Directory are automatically pushed over to your Box enterprise account and users can sign in with the same identity and potentially SSO because they're signing in against the same directory all over the place and get all that stuff going. You also have options because you're tied into Azure AD to do like non-SSO or like a bunch of consumer apps. So say you had a marketing department and everyone in your marketing department shares a Twitter account. So in the past, they might have gone out and they might have all had a separate copy of that username and password. But what you could do is you could create that application definition in your Azure AD share it with just those users, or hopefully a security group in your marketing department, and you could automatically push that out as a tile to them in their MyOps portal, or potentially a tile in Office 365, where they all get pre-configured SSO to go ahead and get in with that shared username and password that you've set up administratively ahead of time. And you can do a bunch of consumer services. You can do Netflix and Twitter and HubSpots and CRMs. I think last time I looked, there's 2,700 or 2,800 applications up in that directory, with a couple hundred that are kind of more enterprise-y with user provisioning and things like that. And the rest of them are just a lot of consumer services that are hanging out there. But that becomes really powerful, because what you can do is, in the past, you might have gone to somebody, you know, let's take that Box scenario. You would have gone to Box and you would have said, okay, let's federate. And you would have had, you know, multiple relying parties, and you would have done a bunch of work with your on-prem federation or whoever your federation identity provider was to go ahead and set all that stuff up. So now I can do that just once. So I can go ahead and tie all that stuff into Azure AD. And then Azure AD becomes this central hub for my cloud identity out to all these other providers. So now it doesn't become a conversation of, oh, hey, let's exchange a certificate and go ahead and get you to do, you know, let's coordinate setting up this federation in ADFS. It's, I'm going to go create an Azure AD app. I'm going to assign users and groups to it. Here's the signing cert assigned to it by Azure AD. Have fun. And then you're just kind of off and running and doing your thing. And the other really cool thing about that too is, if you've ever done federation and identity and things like that, quite often we deal with things like signing certs and token certs and rollovers and all those kinds of things. Once I'm onboarded into that Azure AD mode of it, Microsoft and the vendors that they work with take care of like 99% of that stuff for you. So you just never touch it, which lets you focus on kind of the business functions and business functionality, and you're not spending all your time monitoring systems and health and what's going on, and do I have to remember to do that, you know, 2 months down the road.
Yep. Yeah, it's really nice. I love it. And like you said, having some of those SSO capabilities, or not necessarily the SSO, but those that shared sign-on with stuff like Twitter. So you can have your whole marketing department sign on with your corporate Twitter account, post updates to it, but never actually share the password with them. So you're not changing it every time somebody leaves or they are no longer part of the marketing team. Super powerful. We're kind of coming up on our time here. Anything else people should know you want to talk about with identity, cloud identity, Azure AD, before we wrap it up for the day?
No, I think the big thing is, everybody needs to recognize there's kind of those three identity models. There's a kind of sweet spot that's easy to get going with, and that's your synchronized identity with password sync. So that's a nice place for everybody to start, especially if you have on-prem identity you need to ship up. And then think long and hard before you do things like federation. Like, do I actually need that? Do I have a requirement to go that way? Do I want to maintain all that extra infrastructure? You know, do I need SSO, or is same sign-on the same? Simple sign-on sufficient to go ahead and get me up there? But that's about it. I mean, it's super easy to onboard. You basically go download an agent and next your way through it, and you'll be all good.
All right. Awesome. Sounds great. Well, thanks again, Scott. Another good episode. Hope you enjoy your day, your week, and we will talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Thanks. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show, or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.